Well, welcome to another episode of Flip Your Friday. I'm your host, Wynn Silberman. This is my co-host, Casey LeBlanc. Casey, we have an amazing guest today. Woo! Please, audience, I introduce you to Teresa Reed. Teresa, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
God, we have so much to talk about. I'm really excited that you're here. Casey and I were talking about just in the context of the emergence of women's sports. That's just one thing. But before we delve into a gamut of things, so to speak, yes. I'd really like to know a little bit about your journey and what you do, which is really sports marketing at its core, right?
Yeah.
So how did you get into that, and talk a little bit about it, and we'll take it from there.
I'm going to do what I tell my athletes to do. Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. Yeah. Look you in the eye. That's what I tell my athletes. Yeah, PR 101.
That's a good start.
I'm trying to be the coolest guest besides the guy that went to jail for being a badass entrepreneur.
Lewis, how's
Teresa?
It going?
But long story long, I grew up in Fairbanks, Alaska. My intern over here has heard this story because she's a journalism major. She interviewed me. But I grew up in Fairbanks, Alaska. So this is the map. This is Alaska. And Fairbanks is the northernmost city in America. So I played sports growing up. Every sport.
Mostly in the dark.
Right. Yeah. 40 below, in the dark, in a gym. And I lettered in all sports. I mean, the competition wasn't as... It's not like California or Texas. But I was always the 12th man on the bench. I said to you, 8th man. But no, girl. I was like... the backup, but I made the varsity team. So I was this close. So I played soccer, volleyball, and basketball. I loved basketball. My dad was a basketball coach. I think that sparked the love of the game. And also my ability to interact with athletes, because in my mind, I still am an athlete.
Once you're an athlete, you're always an athlete.
Yeah.
And honestly, the mentality of an athlete.
And it gives that swag, right?
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
It's like that swag and that energy and that confidence.
Confidence.
Yep. Yeah. And it taught me a lot about life. So anyways, Fairbanks, Alaska, middle of nowhere, northernmost Denny's, northernmost mall. I make the varsity team. And these girls that are taller than me, cooler than me, they're like the starting lineup. And I always wanted to be like them. And so that kind of gave me a little chip on my shoulder. Like, I'm never going to be as good. Mm. But I peaked later in life. Yeah. And I decided that I was going to work in sports one day. Like, so riding that pine inspired me. So fast forward, I went to college at Oregon State. I Beavers. Dabbled in intramurals. It's kind of lame, isn't it?
Dabbled in intramurals. I love it.
Oregon State Beavers are the Ducks. I was like, damn, I wish I would have got a scholarship for the Oregon team. But oh, well. I went to college. I kind of was always at the gym. I think energy is so big. Mm-hmm. It's like what you think is what you are, and that's what you give. Athletes, I wasn't like always I wasn't the hottest girl. I wasn't the girl that was all over the athlete, but I would have all the athletes at my house and I would always be around the athletes.
So you have a passion for sports, and it sounds like through your passion, you were able to manifest an opportunity to make money and grow business.
Right.
And I really want to, let's get to that part. I mean, okay. Let's talk about making money. Well, yeah, let's talk about making money and doing sports marketing. What's that like? You know, how do you make the connection between,
right.
You're talking about.
Did you start doing that at Oregon State? Was that
no.
where you started?
Okay. But so I knew I had the power to convince.
Oh, okay. Got it. So you started hanging out with athletes and you're like, look,
how could I convince them to come up to my parties and hang out?
So
and then of course
persuasion.
I dated them.
Yeah, okay.
And you don't have to show your ass and your tits to get what you want in life.
He does.
You can actually add mutual value, an exchange of value to get whatever you want. But I went to college, I got my master's degree, and I still wasn't working in sports. I moved to San Diego on a whim. Mm. I almost got evicted from my apartment, but I would interview for all the sports teams. Mm. And I was like, I interviewed for the Chargers, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Padres, everyone, Upper Deck, like everything sports I interviewed, and I never got the job. I never got the job. I was babysitting. I was doing all this little shit, and I did an internship. I met a guy at Macy's, and he was like, yo, you know sports, and you have the gift of banter. Here's a microphone. So I did a free internship for 4 years interviewing athletes from a guy I met at Macy's.
Wow.
And my first interview, he's like, fly to LA and interview Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins, maybe Marquette. No, I don't know.
I want to ask you a question.
Was that
wild? So as people that are doing interviews, what's the best question that you ask someone? in sports?
You have to do your research.
Okay.
Because you should be asking a question that's not what everyone else asks. My husband is a Hall of Famer. My energy did attract that. Probably it was from the journalism piece, but he always gets asked the same damn questions.
Yeah.
You lost 4 Super Bowls. How does it feel?
Yeah.
right.
It's like, bro.
Yeah.
I sound like a 20-year-old. Bro. Think of some of his hobbies. Think of things that might light him up in a different way.
Just do a quick Google search. Like, right. Do some work.
Right.
I'm just kind of.
I didn't even answer your question because I have popcorn brain.
That's okay. I already have a question. And Andre, you're married to Andre Reed, obviously.
Yeah. Met him along the way doing the interviews. So I started as a journalist, and then I was like, I can get these guys to do anything. What is that marketing dude over there doing? And along the way, I met Andre.
Got
and
it.
He was just my wingman, just for the record.
That must help you a little bit, though, right? Did you guys as a unit, does he help provide insight on how to grow business for you?
Yeah and no. Because when I met him, I was on my grind. And I probably was the first girl that didn't, can I say?
You can say whatever you want.
I didn't sleep with him.
Have you slept
for
with him?
Years?
Have
you slept with him? 10 years.
Like I want to tell all the young ladies out there, is like when you work in a man's world, i.e. most things, minus becoming a nurse or a teacher, like what are the fields that women are predominantly in? If you work in a man's world, I'm around all these dudes and they like might think you're cute or hot. Do not sleep with them until they commit to you. In my mind. But anyways, I did that. And he was flirting with Kamala Harris.
I don't know. I mean, I can see it both ways, but go ahead.
That's my high moral code.
That's our first debatable topic there, but we'll
wrong
give you that
podcast
one.
For me to show my Christianity.
Can we set this?
Andre would flirt with the bartenders and all the hot girls, and I'd be like.
But you guys are married now. You sleep with them, right?
Like, yeah, of course.
Okay. And then the other question is, you're being from Alaska.
But does he help me in my business? That was a question.
Yeah, it is.
He does. But I feel like I've earned it all on my own because I would invite him to all my stuff. And the perks of me working in sports helps him equally because he gets paid deals. And we're grinding for current players and we're throwing in a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's great.
Hall of Famers don't get as much. You were talking about this offline
is that you have a Rolodex of people that you're, what do you say, brokering to different events and things that are going out throughout town.
Yes,
you're the
Andre does help with that. Like, when we're out and about and, you know, Tony Hawk's coming up to him and saying, yo, take my number. Like, we can support each other.
Yeah,
so,
that's great.
Andre does help 100% at events. Like, he plays in the celebrity Padres game with, you know, Machado and everyone.
Yeah, and that's an opportunity for you to
know. Is that your main business? Is your main business working with, you know, celebrity or ABC lists and then putting them in events? Is it marketing or doing both?
Sports marketing.
Okay.
I started in PR. This is another gender thing. I thought, okay, well, the athletes want to call me their PR girl. We are really all over the place, aren't we, guys?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Right, though. It's a typical podcast.
This is what we do.
Okay. That's why we could talk for 5 hours. But they were like, that's my PR girl. And I was like, okay, I could be a PR girl. $2,000 a month, I'll be your PR girl. But then as I matured in my space, like, I was like, PR is just one. This is marketing, even for your business and your business. Marketing, PR, social media, community engagement, brand deals, like, PR is under the umbrella. So one of my athletes, he's the captain of the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. He was like, Teresa, what do you want to be called? And I was like, marketing. I want to be your marketing agent. Because I feel like that gives me more freedom and play with the big boys.
Do you align with sports agents? Because sometimes a sports agent has a different idea as to, well, and you could talk to this a little bit, but how they want their brand and image to be portrayed into the media. So from a marketing perspective, do you have to have these conversations on strategy with whether it be college or professional athletes?
Yeah. So the cool thing about what the sports marketing piece is that we get to talk to the agents, but we're not exclusive to any. So they play a role, but usually when people hire us, they want more than they believe they are the CEO of their brand and they want more than what their agent is providing. But yeah, we strategize, we talk about, they tell us their whole story like a podcast, and then spending time with people is really where you build that bond and you go hard. And my clients are like family. They came to my wedding. They text me every day. It's like we go hard for people we care about.
Have you fired a client?
I don't want to tell you about the one that
you don't have to mention.
One of my interns, not here, but actually did a big boo boo, and we lost a client.
Okay,
and I was like,
was it the kind of boo boo that you admonish against?
It was a charitable event mess up, but
we can't go into.
Haven't really fired anyone. Yeah. No. As you grow and build in your business, you start to pick. Like, I am really focused on wide receivers. My agency I work with, my partner and I, we were like, we should just crush it for the wide receivers.
Well, it makes a lot of sense for you and where you are in life, right? I mean, you're married to a Hall of Fame wide receiver. He's got a great personality. I've met him a few times in various circles. An opportunity for you guys to network. I can see you guys as a team is amazing. And certainly you've earned a lot of respect and you've done your own grind. But yeah. I mean, you have to be honest in the sense that he's a great partner in that way.
Yeah, we are a... Yeah. Dare I say, power couple?
Sure, sure. Yeah.
In San Diego, another thing that I always tell people, young people especially, is like, own your market. Like, I have clients all over the country, but I was like, 2 years ago, I was like, I want to own the San Diego sports space. Hmm. And I started talking about it. And then my goal was to get, like, work for each team in some capacity or have a player on each team.
Sure.
You're aggressive too. You have an aggressive personality. Like, you reached out to us and you were like, hey, I got a lot of cool shit going on.
Yeah.
You
somehow to talk we had to mutual connections.
Yeah. We had mutual connections and you were just like,
I think I saw your content and I liked it.
Well, so talk a little bit about that because there's often times where people sit back and wait for shit to happen to them. Yeah. That doesn't seem to be the case.
It goes back to the 12th man. Like all the closed doors, like slammed in your face. Couldn't get a freaking job. Was evicted living in San Diego, but that fuels the scrappiness.
Yeah.
And that was like, don't take no for an answer. Don't wait for a job. Like I love helping kids in their 20s and college and have tons of interns, but like create.
Yeah.
When I got fired, when I didn't have a job, I was babysitting. I was doing all this crap. I don't even know if Andre knew when we were dating, I was like scraping crap together.
Yeah.
But I created my own agency.
Yeah.
And I begged Terrell Davis, actually. Shout out to Terrell Davis, San Diego Takeover. Yeah. He's part of it. I was like, dude, I'll run your Instagram. And he let me. And to this day.
What was he doing at the time?
He made the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, but you need to get on Instagram.
Was he with the Broncos at the time? Or is this recent?
No, this was 8 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you still managing it now? So you manage... social media, different accounts for
different
people.
Is the part of marketing. You customize your pitch to everyone, right? Just like in any sales. Like, hey, you want brand deals? Done. Here's some other buckets that we can service you at. Let us know if you want those. Customize my retainer to what they want. But my first client, I knew I created it because I was like, I need to work in sports. I need to be that marketing guy over there.
Yeah, what was the first deal you did? And how much was it? And how excited were you?
I don't really remember. Mm. I did with my business partner. One thing I have to say is play your role. And I can bring deals. And I love the deal. Like I just got a $300,000 deal. We get 20%. So that's motivating. What is that? 60 grand?
60 grand, yeah.
Yeah, that's like, oh, done. Next, sit in your laurels.
So are you on the sales side of the business?
I'm on. So this is the beauty of being at the top. I started to realize like a football team. That, yeah, I'm a good coach. I'm a good wide receiver. I like to get the deal, like to get the touchdown. But I also like the relationship building. I'm really good at getting the client for my sales guys and girls to market and do the cold calls and talk to the brands. And like we have to play our role. I can do the deals and I love the deal. I don't spend as much time on the deal because I've recruited 20 athletes. Manage that.
Yeah, give me an idea of what the 300,000, what does that entail? Someone says 300,000, your commission is 20% or your company's commission is 20%. What does $300,000 get an athlete? For how long? What are you doing?
Right. This one was actually 3 years, which isn't as exciting, but still it was for a female.
Yeah.
And I was so proud because she hasn't gotten a deal like that in a while. But what does it entail?
You're putting the brand. The brand is paying $300,000 to the athlete.
And I met the president of the brand. He came to an event I emceed. It was a sporting event. You guys should start coming. And he was like, you were just so damn good. He's like, I like your contact. I didn't know the caliber of who he was. And then he emailed me and he said, I saw you work with so-and-so. I'd like to bring her a deal. And I was like, that is the gift also, men and women out there, personality. You're one person away from your next opportunity. Don't big time people. Don't act like an elitist standing in the corner, like, come to me, like, da 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 da. No, chat people up sitting next to you. I teach my athletes this too. So I chatted him up and he emailed me. I also pray a lot. So I'm like, I know people that do the right things are blessed with abundance. And you wake up the next day and you're like, what? I don't deserve this. Now I wish I was a contract agent because
No, you don't.
I don't think
because
so
the top
5%, Musgrove made $100 million. I'm like, oh,
it's all the same agents making all of the money. 90%. Everybody, 95% yeah. of the agents aren't making any money, and the real money is
you're in marketing. You're literally in the top. You're in the top 10%.
Well, it's creative, right?
You're in the top 10% as an NFL agent if you have two clients.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's wild. There's only 1,900 players for over 2,500 licensed.
It takes a long time for people to realize that because the economics are not taught to you a lot of times. As I tell my dear friend over here.
Thank you for teaching me those.
Yeah, it's been a long process. Creativity of marketing.
Again, it's this umbrella where you can say, I do marketing. Really, I do social media. Really, I do.
Well, you said something interesting,
football camps for athletes.
You said something interesting. The way that you get deals is, number one, it's relationship-based. It's the ability to connect and build rapport. But what you're saying is, for marketing, the reason why you like that term is that you can almost mold your pitch, so to speak, based on, I assume, your research of the meeting or the person you're going to meet with. Is that how you do things?
Like, what do you need?
Yeah.
How can I help you? Life is an exchange of mutualism. When I teach the interns, like, you should walk up to someone and immediately, if you're in the sports world, dude, do you like the Cubs? Or, like, what's your favorite team? No way. You're a Packers fan? I was with Jordan Love the other day at the Mojo game. And then that immediately, like, name drop a little bit, but also
it builds a little rapport.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is the importance of telling a story.
Quick value.
Right? Yeah, you got to be able to tell a story. Like we joke about it all the time. Like, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. Don't let the details get in the way of a good story. You have to be able to tell a good story.
People buy people.
That's right. And they buy people that they like.
What you do, but your outfit, your energy, it's like, what do you
Casey,
do?
You look really, you actually look really good today.
This might be top.
And I do agree with you. That any good story is worth
100%
fiction.
Do you get hyped up a lot here because you run the place?
No, not at all. Well, maybe, I guess.
Don't worry. I live with someone that gets hyped up all the time.
It's like, probably exhausting again? For everyone here, but yeah.
I'm used to your type.
Talk more about storytelling and how you incorporate that into business.
As you can see, I like to chit-chat.
Yeah.
But I... People are like, why are you texting the owner of Nixon Watch? I was like, that's my homie. Because, again, I've added value. I talk sports. I mean, you can do this in any sector.
You can.
Like,
if you have the gift of gab. Can you sell?
Should I tell you a story?
Yeah,
please.
Okay, so, yes, let's give Andre a plug.
Yeah.
We were dating at the time. Robert Kraft invited us to Israel. I'm the youngest girl. Obviously, the Hall of Famers are usually marry age-appropriate people.
Do they?
But
yeah, I've never heard of that.
Not Robert Kraft, though. Yeah. Edit that one out. He did date. He did marry. Anyways, he's like, you're going to love my girlfriend at the time, not wife. But we went to Israel. My bestie on the trip was Roger Staubach. Do you remember him?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
OG.
Yeah.
And why was he my bestie? He's one of the most successful former players.
Big in real estate.
In the bank. Maybe not in the brand department.
Staubach is the commercial guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Texas.
Yeah.
So this is a great business story that ties in sports.
Yeah,
which
great.
Is,
do it.
So, and I'm chatting him up. We're talking shit about everyone on the trip. He's so smart. He's not just famous, like some of the Hall of Famers. He's like showing me his tattoo. He's like, yeah, I got this tattoo and I'm an old guy. It was the Hail Mary tattoo.
Oh, that's funny.
Because he's known, if you don't know, especially Charlie, he's my intern. Roger Staubach is the one that founded the Hail Mary term. So he threw a ball and the wide receiver caught it in the end zone. And he's like,
yeah, he coined the term.
The reporter said, what was that called? He said, I said a Hail Mary. So right. Homie and I mean, Roger, Joe Montana, Andre, Chris Carter, we're all in the elevator in Israel and we're going up and people are coming in and out. And this like people don't know who anyone is, but then a guy is looking twice over here at the two quarterbacks, Roger Staubach, Joe Montana. The Joe Montana gets out, Roger Staubach gets out, and the guy that was scoping him out asked Andre and I, was that Joe Montana? And Andre's like, yeah, that was Joe Montana, one of the greatest. And he's like, and the other guy, he's that real estate guy. So,
which,
that,
by the way, what an awesome, I mean, I would love that, right? If you're Roger
Staubach. As a former player.
Ability to succeed beyond sports, because one of the biggest things, one of the biggest things that athletes have a problem with is finding an identity after sports. And being broke, but finding an identity after sports is very difficult. In fact, a lot of players go through, all players go through a time period where, look, they've been handed everything for X amount of years. Say you're at 34, if you're lucky and you're retiring, you've all of a sudden you're just an average Joe. Like you're nobody. Like, you know, it's difficult.
He found a career and he made just as much money.
No,
he does now?
100 times more money.
Yeah, 100 times.
It is so significant what he did. He's the outlier. He's the unicorn though.
He doesn't need to be like the Strahan or like the Dion.
He has FU money beyond almost any other athlete. Like he's in the legacy of like what Jordan
he's
did.
He's MJ. Right. I was just going to say he's MJ.
That's the type of company that he runs. Like that where.
And check this out though. He says this speech when he speaks around the country.
Yeah, he does.
Not as much anymore.
Yeah, he does.
But he uses this example that I got to witness about how to build your brand.
Yeah.
And then my
he say? What's the principle of what he says?
That he's built himself so much in his space, branded. And that's OG stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we want a brand now. Like, that's all about the brand, all about the Instagram reels and all about telling what you do to the public. Well, he did it before that, before the social media age. And he talked about branding. And that's and he crushed it. And so instead of saying the football player, the real estate, like, he branded his real estate. And that's the whole point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you use that in your speaking gigs? And I witnessed it.
What a
special and they didn't. They're like, Andre Reed, we don't know.
Yeah, but when you're that well Andre. Known, you probably, he's probably happy about it.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm tired of getting recognized.
I know.
I'm tired of dealing with
and
it.
He doesn't care. Yeah, but that was one story. But if I say that to a CEO, they're like all into it. You know? It does help. Yes, I married a Hall of Famer. But even before that, like the gift of gab and the energy and like the cool stories, people fall in love with you and people fall in love with your character. I have so many friends that are I don't have a lot of friends, let's be real, but my close friends are the people that,
you know, you're an Italian spitfire.
Yeah. No, I just, I'm like, I probably not intentional with enough people.
Okay.
Cause I like to talk money and I like to talk business and I like my energy attracts like entrepreneurs. Yeah. And I don't have time to, I don't know. That's not the point. But yes, I have some friends, but we always tell stories about, you know, like business deals and who we met and
that's
cool stuff, dudes.
Yeah,
like,
that's your passion, honestly. Right? It sounds like passion is really meeting people, engaging.
And connecting.
And connecting, yeah.
And then like, oh my gosh, you do own Nixon Watch. My client, Joe Musgrove on the Padres, loves the brand and he rocks it, even though he could be wearing a Rolex. And he's like all about his Nixon watches, so let me connect you two.
Yeah.
And that's the true business that you're in, right? Like, that's the thing that it took us a little while to get here, but that's the thing that I don't know that people get is that
that's marketing.
You have to, you're basically brokering where you're taking a relationship on both ends, the business side. Somebody wants their brand, they want to be recognized, they want somebody famous to influence other people, like us common people, on what we buy or what we think is cool, stuff like that. So, you have to actually drive two different relationships. You have to have the economics on the business side, and then you have to have, whether it's an athlete, most of them are athlete, I would assume, but the athlete to participate at some level. So you're managing.
What else would you rather sell than someone that has accomplished a lot and by the world is famous?
Well, so,
like,
so
it's an easy sell.
I have a question for you.
But you're obviously doing good because look at this.
Yeah, but I couldn't deal. Like, so for me, I can't deal with patience. Famous people. I don't if somebody calls me with their ego bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, I have my own ego to deal with, and that's enough. But so I don't understand. I've talked to him about it too. So both of you are on the other side of this coin, and from the standpoint of you can deal with that shit. Like, I can't.
I have a funny story, and this is
So but Marquette, I'm asking,
we talked about...
It's humbling. Yeah. Well, it's just like, you know, even Andre and I go head-to-head, like, who's got cooler stories? Or, yes, you have a Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah, what's dinner like
but with I work with Alex Morgan and Joe Musgrove. Like,
what's dinner like with you two?
Oh, it's a reality show.
Yeah.
It's probably imagine. It's like a lot.
Yeah. Wait, speaking of reality show, what did you say? What reality show did you guys get? Yes, you have to now. You didn't go on it, right?
No.
You got offered.
So it's just an offer.
Okay, well, it was a show that was about... Am I allowed to say this?
Yes.
I'm going to get canceled.
No, you're not.
This is like...
Well, you can always choose to cancel it later.
Okay. It was just a show about dating, but usually the people we knew that went on it in the back, I mean the past, they divorced right after. So we had to really think about it. It was only a six-figure deal. I was like, maybe for $2 million. For $2 million, we go on the show.
Did you counter? Did you counter the offer and say,
"No,
hey, mate,
It was just like,
what was the deal?
You go on the show, and it's kind of like no name people.
Yeah,
no name people go on the show in a mansion and do stuff stay together. So some fake it, but some are on their way out, so they're like, make some quick cash.
Are you serious?
Yes. Would you and Andre ever entertain this?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. I would probably be.
You know, that's right. I mean, look, in LA, there's players now that there's people out there, agents, that'll have a C-level actress, for example, and there'll be an offer for a magazine to pay a player just to be seen going to dinner with that actress. That player will be paid 20, 30 grand just to go to dinner one time with this actress to help a magazine, for example.
I had a player offered to go on a reality show, and it's a hot one right now. And it was before a contract, and he gets the ladies. A lot of ladies. And I was like, dude, I don't think you should do it because I don't want it to ruin your main bread and butter.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the girl's hot that wanted to go on the date and they wanted to shoot him. It was very fabricated. She was way older than him. And I was like, I don't think you should do it before contract.
You got to look at the value. Like, what's my upside here, right? Like 50 grand.
Trust me.
Grand,
I watched the show. I was like, this is so cool. Like, I'm talking to
the producer. Yeah, it's cool. It'd be interesting, but if you're in the middle of a contract negotiation,
not if it's your bread and butter.
The other thing, too,
like, even you, like, when you've achieved a lot of success, is it worth it?
Totally. We had to have... So this
you should have a show.
It's a good point.
He does. We're on it.
No, but how do we... No, it's that... This is a great point, is that what is... Like, this show, what's the fucking... use or value of it, right? It has to make sense. Yeah, so that is it's a point of like, what am I, it's almost like, what are you doing with your time? Is it worth my time? Is it worth your time? Like, just, you had to make a decision. You're like,
you kind of sell your soul when you capture your daily life.
Yeah.
Because you have to make it interesting. And
Andre, you don't. You know who has to make it interesting?
Andre
the
and I.
The fucking people who edit the show and they can edit you to whatever.
Can you say that again? You have to sell your soul to make your life interesting?
Andre and I like to get worked up about everything, so that's very entertaining. Wow. Like, we're both, like, very sensitive. Are wide receivers sensitive? I don't know. Is it a birth order thing? Or the stars? Is it Pisces and Aquarius? I don't know. Mm. But we do like to get worked up about offenses.
Ah.
Yes. Like, that person hurt my feelings. Let's talk about it for 12 days.
Wow. Offenses.
Like, offenses.
Like, being offended. Oh. It's very, a lot of women, I don't know if you're
offenses,
married or dating, but
offenses.
Women take offense to a lot of things.
Oh.
And so do wide receivers.
Oh. Well,
no, just joking. I don't know.
We're actually both wide receivers. So I take offense to this.
Like,
is that how this works?
What kind of hair gel did you use?
I'm taking offense to that right
or
now.
Or like if my hair is just kind of jacked up right now. If you said that to me,
have you seen the movie Something About Mary? That's the type of hair gel that he uses.
That was good. Okay. You're not really that funny. So that was pretty good. I'll give you that.
I don't know how we digress to this, but...
I'm sorry.
I don't know what we're talking about.
That's all right. We can pivot again. We go back and forth.
Oh, drama. So. Like, drama is very fun to talk about and record and put on TV and... That's why Andre and I are just so dramatic.
Yeah, we can't imagine being on a reality show and letting the whole show be dictated by what editors are going to
Should we
interpret?
Do something in San Diego, though? Because I would have the best people to cast.
Yeah, like who?
My friend I mentioned.
Yeah, okay, so. Well, just talk about it. So your Rolodex, I've talked about both of you guys have extremely impressive Rolodexes. Yeah. And it's the conversion of the Rolodex into capital that is it's a gift. It's not easy to do. And I think that...
It's fun. You got to find something
for
me.
I would disagree because if I have to take a call from an A, B, or C list celebrity, and they're just wanting to waste my time. I would fucking lose my
shit. But you never know how you, in the future, you could get them something to add value. Well,
and like, but if you don't, like, just say for an example, let me ask you a question. If you don't, like, genuinely like them, but they're a client, like, they are, like...
But when you have say in it, you don't have to take everyone.
Yeah.
Do you do that, or do you take everyone?
Me? I don't take anyone. Like, I've just watched other people that I know that might be to the right.
What you're saying, let me just recapture what you're saying. What he's talking about in terms of patience, see, you and I, it sounds like, we both enjoy, people have different concepts of what value is, okay?
Yeah.
He values the bottom line, and that he's transactional, and he's very good at what he does. He can be transactional. You have to get to the transaction. The point is, she values
the
opportunity to get to know someone, and what you qualify as wasting time,
she qualifies. You tell me what I value. So, but I'm curious.
But you
know,
value people because obviously you wouldn't be doing a podcast.
I just don't waste time. So there's a difference, right? Like, so I
want to take some notes from you.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying.
Wasting time depends on value.
Transactional means that every single day you wake up.
See the water.
Your definition. Hey, listen.
I am sensitive. No
drama.
Your definition of wasting time.
Is this Vanderpump Rules?
Now I understand what you're talking about with offensive. Okay, I get it.
All right, so I like the transaction, and people, I won't say his name, but one of my clients is like, Teresa, do you ever stop talking about business? And I'm like, no, I don't. Because me getting to know you is like part of my business. You know what I mean? And I like to like, oh, you do that. That's so cool. How can I add value? Do you like working with celebrities and athletes? That's the new age of influencer marketing. And they're like, Teresa, do you ever stop? And I'm like, no, I found what lights me up. And 80% of our life is work. And then I'm married a sports guy. So it's like our life is what we do. I don't have children because I've been so enthralled with like building a sports business. And I love it.
What's
like, I live and breathe like ideas and athletes and stuff.
Even for you working with like famous people. What's something surprising or something you deal with, something that people wouldn't understand?
The secret is treat them like they're your friend and treat them the same as, like, I always say I treat people, my interns the same, like from homeless to Harvard. We serve the homeless on Mondays on 10th and J. Andre comes sometimes and it's called Streets of Hope. Like, I know I have to give to be trusted with abundance. So I give, but I treat everyone the same. Like Roger Goodell. I text message him, but I treat my homeless friends on the street like Deborah and Charlize, my intern, like I treat Roger Goodell, like I treat Joe Musgrove, like I treat, you know, Terrell Davis. I treat everyone the same. And I think that's a superpower because I treat CEOs just like I treat my interns, honestly. So I that gave me the chills because I wish the world was more like that because we do have this hierarchy of elitism and I'm like, treat everyone the same because the second you treat like, oh, let me take a selfie. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm so excited. Oh my God. That's like the shift of energy instead of being the connected. Same.
Yeah.
Now I'm putting you here and I'm down here, but wait, you go to the bathroom, you put your pants on the same. You might live in a massive house, but guess what guys? That doesn't make you happy. I was thinking the other day, like, man, I love my house, but I could live anywhere. It really doesn't fill my soul. You know what I mean?
Do you find that some of the famous people that you work with, or maybe even others that have been in your circles, have more insecurities than the common person?
Dudes that take offense, you know? They're normal people. I don't know. You know. It's like all these reality TV stars have become my children in San Diego. And I mean, to be cast on TV or to achieve some sort of success, got to be a little cray-cray. Like, if you're on TV, you got to be crazy good. Like, crazy entertaining, crazy chit-chat. Crazy
entertains.
Crazy chit-chat, crazy, you know, comments. And same with the athletes. Like, you've achieved so much. You must have had some crazy tunnel vision. What was your question?
Yeah, no, that's good. Let's talk about that. So some of the athletes, we've had athletes on the show. We've had a lot of different people. So
name your favorite.
Favorite athlete?
On the show.
Well, if we don't say Marquette King, he's going to cry. So it's Marquette. Because Hunter's cry.
Bud Dupree. was here. We had a, he was an
Rashid Davis.
One.
Yeah,
Rashid. Yeah, we've had a couple.
Had a lot of athletes.
Oh, like, wait, the Saints kid.
He did play for the Saints for a second.
Yeah. Okay.
So we've had some athletes on here that there's like a like similarities with a lot of them, and a lot of them have this chip on their shoulder. A lot of them remember falling to the bottom at some level, and that's the story that they tell with the most clarity. Instead of like the touchdowns or the wins, they never talk about that. It's the it's how they were they lost something or they they failed at something, and that was what propelled them or springboarded them into something incredible. You like most people that have done great shit remember that, and that's their motivating factor. Or they have this, someone doubted them, or they didn't do something when they were younger. They were the 12th man.
Yeah,
that
pisses
people off.
Yeah.
That pisses people off, and then they do great things after that.
Just like you had your edge on your shoulder.
It's like in the losing, you learn, and that builds character. And it's like, keep slamming the doors, because I know a better opportunity, a better client, a better fit for me is coming.
When one door closes, another door opens, right?
But people get stuck. People get stuck. So we talk a little bit in the show about how to get unstuck. Because you can fuck yourself in your mind from the standpoint of like, life sucks, I suck.
I can't sell a house. All these realtors, they have to be like, oh, shoot.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's funny. Like sometimes
this is escrow? Okay, you have an easier job then.
Do we?
I'm like, the realtor that sold our house, I was like, of course she, because
it is really
she
easy.
Donated to our charity. How can really I not
did you use New Venture?
He's probably one of the easiest businesses I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God.
Escrow. I'm just like, wow. She told me who to go
to. Easy, and
in Rancho Santa Fe.
No, it's funny. Like everyone says,
Rancho Santa Fe.
I got lucky.
Shout out to Jen.
Yeah, you did get lucky.
Yeah, shout out Jen.
She helped.
Jen, I expect your next escrow.
Not the realtor, the escrow lady. I've invited her to all my events.
Oh, tell Jen we're hiring.
She has her own business.
That's fine.
She we're also acquiring. Yeah, we're also acquiring.
Rancho Santa Fe escrow.
Oh yeah.
In the village.
I've tried to. Rancho Santa Fe is a tough market to get into. You have to actually acquire. There's like a group of people. You probably know them all.
Well,
there's like four escrow officers all that work right in the village.
She did a great job.
Yeah.
And
can
she,
you connect us?
She's connecting. I mean, she the people that I use. Here's another thing.
That's great.
When you hire someone, it's someone that has added value, even if it's in the smallest way. Yeah, my realtor wasn't my best friend, but she donated to our golf tournament every year. She bought a foursome. So when I have realtors, I could have used so many. But I was like, who is the one that helped me out when I asked? Mm-hmm. So all you salespeople out there, donate to a charity, and especially donate to a charity of the person that you would aspire to have as a client, like a Hall of Famer or a Joe Musgrove, like an Alex Morgan. You should be donating.
Isn't that a bribe?
Talk a little bit about your charity. Give us give us some ideas as to what your charity
does. Oh, yeah. So Andre and I've taken his charity, the Andre Reed Foundation, to another level.
That's good.
With my marketing hat and umbrella.
Yeah.
So we were sitting at Petco Park with Roberto Clemente, the CEO, Jim Clark of the Boys and Girls Club. And Andre's like, yeah, I have my charity, but isn't it funny that I was a Boys and Girls Club kid and I never got read to at home? He's like, would I remember if my mom read to me at home? Mm. And I mean, was in his 50s at the time. I'm like, do you remember your mom reading to you? Do you? Mm-hmm. Do you remember the books? Jungle Book.
I remember.
Mama, Do You Love Me?
Mm-hmm. Mine was Scratch and Sniff. I had a Scratch and Sniff book.
Yeah. And your mom was like, let's go to bed. I'll read you a book. Or your dad.
Yep.
Andre never got read to. Mm. And Andre's last name is Reed. So my marketing hat, I was like, we're going to start a program underneath the Andre Reed Foundation called Read with Reed.
That's great.
Because he went to the Boys and Girls Club every day. Yeah. His dad beat his mom. He was an alcoholic. He would wake up his dad in the car with a Bud Light, you know, in the morning on the way to school. Andre would pull his dad out of bars. His mom worked in a factory. Her pension is $8. And because she didn't have time to read to him. So we do reading programs in Boys and Girls Clubs, and we remodel rooms, and we use professional athletes to make reading cool again, and we remodel rooms like this to make it so damn cool, using sports and athletes to go read, tackle a good book, and catch the love of reading.
Wow, that's great. That's very cool.
So we buy couches and pillows, and we make it swaggy.
That's cool.
That's really
cool.
So come to our golf tournament.
Do you
come
that
on.
Is that where you generate a lot of your revenue?
Like one event a year.
That's it.
A golf tournament.
Really?
To remodel all the rooms.
Interesting.
And it's such good networking.
Yeah, very good.
You got to give to get.
No, it's a great idea. It's a great concept.
So the golfers, like, we get Miles from Slightly Stupid, Ronnie Lott, Reggie Bush, Terrell Owens. And we actually, when I teach my athletes, give out turkeys. That's cool. Love it. Love your heart. But the reading rooms are the Andre Reed reading rooms. And that's forever.
How many of those have you guys done?
We have about 24 across the country. Town. Across the country.
Across the country.
We have a couple in San Diego.
Okay. Got to have some Buffalo, right?
Yeah, because we use my players. Like in Seattle, my Seahawks player cuts the ribbon. Because I know Andre's cool in Buffalo, but.
I have a question about your players.
Play to the market.
Going back to, obviously, the anchor and what you do with sports marketing. When you sign a contract with them, number one, do you sign an exclusive deal, or is that something that they push back on? What is it usually like? Are you able to get them to be exclusive with you, or is it just what's the market like right now?
It's tricky and it's situational, because why Andre wanted to be involved in this is because he likes to get deals from all different parties when he's out and about meeting people.
Right.
So if in the best interest of the athlete, it's not always exclusive. But when it comes to like the day-to-day, it's easier if they're all in on you. So you can – it's just like any client. You want to be their go-to, and it's easier if they're exclusive. But then I see the player side.
Yeah.
And I'm like
– they just want stuff that comes.
Well, right. But then there's the then there's exclusive the higher level. There's a higher level to it.
And depends on the caliber of the athlete too.
And it has to do with – I totally agree with what you're saying. Because the hardest thing to do when you're doing marketing
is like, I had Joe down the street say he represents you. And I'm like, what?
And that,
we do his marketing.
Here's where athletes get into trouble.
Yeah.
And why it's nice to have an exclusive deal. Because, look, marketing is licensing.
Yeah.
Licensing is categorization. For example, if you do a deal with Pillows, that's usually the only deal you can do with Pillows. If you have a shoe deal, you can't do a shoe deal with Nike and Adidas. If you have one person at least acknowledging what buckets you have checked off, that makes things a lot easier. Because what happens if you don't do it that way, the athlete gets sued. Because they're not, they don't necessarily understand that, we've done, they don't know the that necessarily read the entire terms of a contract.
No, they don't.
It's just I'll do escrow for you you on this house and someone else on this house, and then it's all over the
place. That's why I asked you, because it's a difficult place to be in, because you obviously, you see the side of the athlete just saying, I just want the money.
Yeah.
But on the other side, if you look at it from the way you're supposed to organize things, you have to be able to categorize your deals. And it's a shit show sometimes. And respecting very frustrating.
The point person, too, because we've brought deals to huge athletes, and knowing like, okay, you run point guard on this athlete, I'm not, even though I text him all the time, I'm gonna go through you. And I've learned it the hard way.
It's a tough lesson to learn.
I'm like, that's my friend, I'm gonna bring him the deal direct.
Tough lesson
to learn. The right thing to do
is go with whoever the point is.
Yeah. And then because
and therein lies the rub with the distinction between agents and marketing agents. Like a lot of the times, the biggest concern that you have as an agent is, sure, I don't mind a marketing person growing business for me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I want to be aware of what they're doing for my athlete, because I need to know what categories are still open in the event that I run into to somebody.
Well, are agents trying to double in? Do they want some of the marketing dollars?
Absolutely.
Do you get pressed on that from agents where they're like, hey, I'm only making 3%. I want some of their marketing dollars, so you have to come through me.
It's tricky, but you have to remember, it's about the player. It's in the best interest of the player. It's the best interest of your client. Like you, I put the player first. Whatever, we're adding value to the player. He's the CEO of his brand, his company, his career. So he has a say. Sometimes, like he doesn't, he wants us to just communicate with him, and that's what we do most of the time.
Casey, so most of the time, every league is different. When it comes to that relationship, but you bring up a very good point. There's the player contract, right? There's the team side deal that the agent traditionally is really doing, right? The Padres deal, the New York Giants deal, the 49ers deal. But when you're doing business with an athlete, traditionally what you do is you have that deal as exclusive. And then you try to do a marketing deal. And it tends to, you try to make it exclusive just from a business perspective, but you understand if it's not. And then that's where a person like Teresa can come in and go.
But it's also in to related to you is you could hire a third party marketing person to help you build that has a whole different network than you. Mm-hmm. Like you could hire Teresa. I want to be at the who's who parties. I want to do the red carpets. I want to go to every sports game. I want everyone to know me in San Diego. I want to be on the news. I want to do this. You could also hire someone internal, or you could hire, you know, this young man sitting here to do your marketing.
He's
do you want to be internal, or do you want to dip into someone that might have a different scope of work or knows different a different circle? So it's just like any brand. It's like internal, or do you find someone, a consultant, that can come in? And honestly, with athletes, when their livelihood depends on their brand, it's in their best interest to hire a team.
Absolutely.
Well, their outside window of their is agent. Small. So a lot of, yeah, their window is small, especially in football.
Not everyone's going to make the Hall of Fame.
Well, and if you don't make the Hall of Fame, it's like, what are you going to do? You have a short, even shorter window after you're done playing, right? And a lot of people can't figure out what to do. It's nice
but
to actually
do you like
see,
marketing in-house or?
We do both. Yeah, we do both because, like, you know, probably like an athlete, similar to an athlete, we want to insource certain things. We want to control certain things. Yeah. And then we would rather pay. Because sometimes you have to pay for relationships. I need an introduction here, or I need to go to this. Like, that's more on PR.
Some of the CEOs now that I've hung out with, they're like, Teresa, can you work for me? And it always goes through my mind, should I be working for individuals that are, presidents, CEOs, and founders? Because the people that I'm with are the people they should be with. So I've always, like, that's always been in the back of my head in my San Diego takeover.
Well,
like,
what's interesting.
Exactly
so,
like
so I have this passion. One of my passions outside of business is the transition from college athletics, mostly football, into the business world and entrepreneurship specifically.
We should do a boot camp.
Yeah. And so I work with San Jose State and bring them in for, just because I played there and know everyone there. Oh, nice. And then I'm an entrepreneur. So I'm trying to bridge the gap of what did I not know in college that would have helped me save money.
What do we all learn in college?
Nothing. I mean, that's not true. Networking, people skills, how to tell a story. Ourselves.
That's in sports, which is in college.
We paid 70 grand to find ourselves.
Well, he paid, but I didn't. But anyway, that's either here nor there.
I told you.
D1 athlete over here. Well, my husband was a Division 2.
I played pro. He didn't. It's okay. Yeah, it's all right. Here we
go. So anyway, but my point is that I think there's an opportunity with athletes and what they do after. So if you can connect the business world to the athlete, first of all, a lot of business people weren't athletes, and so they want to be connected to sports
Absolutely.
In some way.
Absolutely.
And so if you have the sphere of people from a high-level C-suite executive level, and you have the, like, you're just brokering connections.
I
and
told
you
my
get paid
friend
for
I wanted to do a Shark Tank because I love helping people. Here's a quick story.
Yeah.
This kid came to drop off liquor to my house, and it was Uber Eats or something. He waited 2 hours.
Waited two hours at your house.
You know how when you order liquor, you have to show your ID?
Oh, yeah.
He waited 2 hours at our house.
He did wait 2 hours, right?
Yeah. And he, when I was like, he was DMing me on the app. And this kid came up and he had like some sports gear on. And I just invited him in. I was like, you waited to give me my, liquor to drink tonight. And I was
were you at the house at the time?
No, I was out of the house.
Oh, so you were just telling him to wait?
Yes. And I used my sales tactics to get this kid. It doesn't even matter what you look like. It's what you say.
That's right.
So I convinced him to stay. And guess what? I asked him his dream job because I wish college would have helped me. I wish I would have had some mentors and role models and people like, hey, work in sports. Here's 10 people to contact. No, I earned it on my own. From Fairbanks, Alaska. But I was like, what's your dream job? And he said, you know what? I want to start a mobile car washing company.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, done. How much money do you need? Write a business plan. Write a proposal. And he did. And I gave him the money.
Come on.
Yeah.
Where is he right now?
Can you wash your car?
Yeah. Are you part
so
of the
I same? Told, yes.
You know she's yes. getting a rub.
Actually.
I am. I did my Shark Tank because I want to play with the big boys. I'm going to start building.
So, but you're the actual
and
investor.
And Andre has no clue.
How much percentage of that kid's company do you have?
20%.
Yeah. And how much did you donate?
It's great.
How much did you donate?
Can you help me
it's
scale it?
It's entrepreneurial philanthropy.
I'm not going to tell you the amount because I'm going to have him on the show too.
Yeah, bring him.
But anyways, I was texting him today. We have this new concept where he does businesses. I brought him to my friend who has a different podcast and he owns the building. And that was
sounds like an amazing guy.
The first time he had been anywhere. Well, you can get your car washed. But I'm saying
I like the idea.
I want to do a Shark Tank where I can help young people fulfill their dreams. And it's not just athletes. It's like, that's how I am. And it's hard to find people that are like me.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like it.
But it's like Shark Tank. Shouldn't we do an incubator for young athletes and
athletic people like
Shark Tank?
Yeah, I like it.
What's your plan? I want to help you. I love the car wash. Andre gets his car washed weekly for $190. Let's do mobile.
Boy, you get 20% of that, so it's fine.
But we lowered it to $100. Guess who his clients are? Guess what we call it?
Yeah.
SD Legends. I micromanage that.
Love it.
Are you involved in the business as well?
Well,
that's the hard part. When you start putting money.
I do a bi-weekly call.
Yeah, see, so
you're operating. You're in operations. Yeah, you are.
Right.
Is it just him? Is he a solopreneur?
Yes, but he was Uber Eatsing. He was Uber Eatsing. So,
is that a verb?
And like Uber Eatsing. I talked to my friend that's a substitute teacher acquaintance. She's like, I make $150 a day as a sub, and I was like, okay, that's a really good baseline. If you do one car a day, like you're already ahead.
Yeah.
And he's young, and he was homeless, and he lived in a car, and. His girlfriend's pregnant.
Now that car is clean.
And guess what? I invited him to Andre's birthday party on a yacht. Like, I want to change people's lives, not just athletes, not just reality TV stars. I want to change my interns' lives. I want to change everyone's life.
So,
like, imagine if we were all like that.
So let me ask you a question.
All this shit doesn't matter. Joe Musgrove, Andre Reed, all these people, we got to use our blessings for good.
How do you choose? Because you're talking about a lot of different things. You're seriously, how
I'm
do you
doing,
choose?
I'm trying to be Mother Teresa.
How do you choose name with the all episode those things? That. How do you choose with all those things? Because you're going to, if you want to start getting into Shark Tank and your business. Like,
I just dream big and throw stuff to the wall and see what sticks.
Okay. Yeah, that's one way of doing it.
Yeah, it is.
Because
I
cannot put all my eggs in one basket.
I've never had somebody admit that, though. I like that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, why would you wait? Pull the trigger. Try it.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point. That should be a
throw
new company.
Shit to the wall. Some of it will stick, some of it won't. And let's keep going.
What's your favorite
thing?
Can
you guys help me with this car washing business?
I like the company. I like the company throw shit on a wall and then the caption is pull the trigger. I think that'd be a new company.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Or do you like I too much?
No.
The problem is when you
I am too much.
When you start investing in these companies, you become so vested. You become
that's
like,
a problem. Yeah,
that's the problem.
You don't want to be
an operator. It's hard to remove yourself
right,
and look at it.
Because you're micromanaging the crap.
Well, because
out of it.
You know the answers to everything that they're going to do. It just takes time and experience and energy.
But here's, I did get my master's degree, and guess what it was in? Counseling.
Oh, okay.
Because I love people and I want to help people. And the number one thing I took away from that $70,000 master's degree that kind of is helping me is I want to lead people to their own solution. So instead of giving advice, you know what? I think you should do this. This is what I did. Because I hear Andre giving his kids advice. But you should be posing questions to your friends, to your colleagues, to your, you know, employees. What do you think? And they answer it for themselves, which is more impactful. And that will make the change more than you telling them like a father figure or mother figure. You know what I mean?
Partnering with them.
That's hard, though, the patience to do that. Really, we talked about patience earlier, but it really is hard to get
But if
them
you take
there.
The time, then you don't have to keep bossing them around.
I agree.
That's
a skill.
Like, you just,
that's
very that's difficult. That's a perfect it idea.
Is. It's just tough to do.
Cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT.
Yeah.
You know.
Or CT.
I remember last time you didn't get the sale. How did you handle that? Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, went on a run, you know. Yeah. And I kept pounding and I got the sale the next day. You should do that again. Mm-hmm. You're so smart. You did it. Change your, like, how did you do it in the past? Yeah. Leading people to their own solution. I mean, this is all a people game. Doesn't matter what you're selling
like
an athlete.
Term, but it's different.
Freaking escrows. Clothing, pillows.
Which is funny because we have AI coming into the business world and everybody gets all
they
freaked out.
They do clean
out
toilets. The robots clean toilets, though.
Good, and they should. That's
done.
What we
should,
that's I'm sold. Yeah, done.
Our pastor says it is against
but
AI.
But you're right, though. When it comes down to it, we're still in the people relationship. Like, that's the real world. Like, people in the media and other places will tell you that robots are coming for your job. They're going to take over. And to some degree, maybe that could be true in 10 years. But we really are just people having conversations, telling stories, having experiences. People make it more difficult than they need to. Businesses still, to this day, all the tech in the world failed in bad economies, but we're still just people just trying to make a buck.
Because in America, we have too many options. Like, this is the first world problem. You can get, here's 550,000 escrow agents. Is that what you call it?
Sure.
And it's like, okay, wow, I'm going to test out a couple options. No, you're going to test, you're going to pick the option that you met along the way or, you know, that the person that stood out.
At New Venture Escrow.
Shameless plug.
It's a shameless plug.
Jennifer from Rancho Santa Fe Escrow.
Yeah, she's coming. She's coming in. We're gonna recruit her.
I love her.
So let's get to some fun things. I know we got to wrap this up pretty soon.
Should we do a fire five at the end?
A fire five?
Is that a shot? What is that?
I was a sports journalist. That's why I kind of.
What is
like
a
the five
five
questions? That they just fire away at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Like, what's your favorite tattoo?
Oh my god. Well, what has been your favorite what athlete. Has been your most difficult situation you've been in when you've done a deal with a client, but most difficult thing you've done with a client or had to experience? Anything that comes to mind? That's
nothing's been difficult because I always make it right. That's a great mindset. Make a lot of mistakes, but I'm like, how can I make this right? And I teach the young, I speak on a lot of panels and I love talking to college campuses and stuff. And I say, like, whenever you mess up, just apologize and say, how can I help? Or if like I say, oh my God, like we got to fix this. Like you invited 12,000 kids to the camp and we only can have 100. And I say, do this. And when I teach them to respond, no problem. How can I make it right?
Yeah.
Like, no problem. I got it. My bad. Keep it simple. I don't need to hear, well, I shouldn't say that, but like my car broke down on the side of the road and
no one cares. Yeah, you're right.
You have to keep it simple and like respect the authority and own your problem and make it right.
If you make a mistake, never like say that. Oops. Always say aha, right? Because that'll just say I'm looking for a solution.
Yeah, and this gender
oops
studies.
Aha. Okay, wow. I hadn't really thought of that. Yeah. Let me think about that one.
Lesson learned.
It'll take you a while. It'll settle in.
Instead of being a loser, you're a learner.
Yeah.
Wow. Just dropping nuggets here for us at the end. Okay.
I got to give that one to Bobby Okereke on the New York Giants.
That's all right. So second question. Let's move into learner. What is it like working with your husband?
It's fun. I like when we divide and conquer because we both have big energy. Mm-hmm. Dare I say alpha energy? Uh-huh. But I tell him the play and he executes. He has 89 touchdowns in his career. They're all in storage.
Every ball?
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's cool. We should probably, yes. Okay.
That's cool.
If anyone wants to buy one, joking. But it's fun because we are sports. I'm a sports girly. Like I live and breathe my job and I've probably sacrificed my fertility, but maybe I could dab. I don't know, but I love sports. I love my career. It lights me up. It gives me the riz. And Andre's part of that world. And Andre gets invited to things that I wouldn't. And now I'm with more of the current players, like shooting a commercial with Joe Musgrove for Saquon. That was an awesome first time they've ever used an actual athlete. We're on our third year of the term. But Andre doesn't come to that stuff. But you know what? He'll text Joe when he has a good game or when Joe has a charity event or we have a charity event, we'll support each other. Sure. So Andre is big piece in that family of support, like the San Diego Mojo helping launch the team. Andre and I bought courtside tickets. So when he's there with Drew Brees and
that's Carrie's.
Yeah.
It's the new women's pro team in town.
4 games left.
Yeah. Andre will come to the games. Does he want to go to the games?
Maybe,
but he does that because he's a team player. And he wants to show support me, our business, but also other athletes.
That's great that you have a blend of romance and business. I think that's kind of cool. Sometimes it
can
always work out.
There is romance in the business.
But he knows that I'm the playmaker and not the
playmaker. Yeah, no,
it's you're just like
just
I'm
depends
the coach.
On the play.
The coach.
Depends on the
You're the coach.
The game.
A lot of men out there need coaching, you know.
We all need
coaching. But you guys deserve a woman that adds, you know, equal value.
Yeah. And I think we both have women that add equal value. Mm-hmm. I just want to let that out there. But, you know.
Clip. Make that a reel. Honestly, can we do a collab tag with fair women?
That's awesome. No, thank you so much for being here and hanging out. It's already been an hour. It's unbelievable. We usually get cut off.
There's so many more topics.
I know. There's so many things. And you can come again. You know, I'd love to have you come again. But for now, I just wanted to thank you for being here and sharing some time with us, sharing a little perspective on your sports marketing world. And Casey, I don't know if you know this, but we are on Instagram. We're on YouTube. We're on all these various platforms.
But you didn't tell me what team you played for in the NFL.
I never played football. I played pro basketball. I played football in Northwestern. Yeah, it's a whole story. We can talk about it off air. Granted.
You could have stopped it. I never played.
Oh, pal. Yeah. Granted.
I'm learning.
That's a wrap. Thank you very much. And looking forward to seeing you again.
It was a blast. Yeah, thank you for coming and sharing your story.
I always fist pound.
Oh, yeah.